the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, we have two guests to start. The first is Pat Crotty, Chief Executive of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, which is having its annual general meeting in Limerick today. And tell us about your idea, Pat, to cut the excise duty on draft beer, money that goes to the government, by 40%. What's behind that idea, please?
Well, 40%, hello, Matt, 40% might sound an awful lot, but it's 40%. Only on beer and cider up to 5% alcohol, and only to a capped figure of a max of 20,000 in the course of a whole year of value. So it's quite small in the scheme of things. In fact, it's a fraction of the cost of changing the VAT on food from 13.5% to 9%. But it would have a hugely positive effect of trying to help publicans who are under extreme pressure because of costs that government has put on them. So in other words, the government has determined that we must pay out extra on all sorts of different fronts. And the publicans are saying, look, you're going to close us down. We can't afford it. Please help us by putting something back into our pockets so that we can actually continue to do all the things you want us to do.
Pat, if we buy a pint, we're buying it from our after-tax income. But then how much of the price of the pint goes to the government in form of more tax?
Well, if you take all of it, and all, I can only say all directly, if you take the price of a pint, according to the CSO, is 577. 177 of that goes directly to the government. But not included is that we also pay our rates, and we also pay for our water. We also pay for all sorts of other things that are, in effect, government services too, that we have to pay. But the direct actual tax that we have is just gone for no other return other than paying our taxes is 177. And in fact, we have worked it out that, and the publican gets left with 17 cents out of that picture. So it's actually very skewed. It means that publicans are literally with their backs to the wall, and businesses with their backs to the wall make very poor decisions for themselves, for their staff, and indeed for their communities.
And indeed, how many rural pubs is it reckoned, do you reckon, have now closed, say, in the last decade or so?
In the last 20 years, it's over 2,000. And we know that in the last 10 years, it's actually the bigger half it. It's about between 12 and 1,300 have actually stopped trading. Pubs are funny because sometimes the premises are still there. The license might still be there. The family might still live on the premises, but there is no business there. But closed businesses, there's in the last 10 years, there's about 1,300.
Okay. And a 40% cut in the excise, how much would that take off the price of a pint, do you reckon?
Well, if it's a rebate on excise, it wouldn't take anything off initially because the publican would still pay exactly the same for the keg to the brewery. And if the brewery returns the money to the government, we're saying to the government, please help us to stay alive and to stay paying towards minimum wage or living wage and all the other costs that they have added onto us by giving us back a piece of it.
Okay, so, this is an important point, Pat.
I might get your point, Matt. This is to keep pubs open. You have a choice. Do you want the pub to close or do you want the pub to stay open so that it's part of the social fabric of the community?
So it doesn't mean actually cheaper drink. It just means that it's effectively a subsidy for the publican to be able to remain open as a community hub.
Correct.
Right, Sheena Gilheeny.
And that's how serious it is.
Right, Chief Executive of Alcohol Action Ireland. What do you make of that? Because this would not reduce the price of a pint to somebody buying it, but it would give people a place to go to have a pint, a sense of community with others.
Well, we would be looking at, you know, what is the cost of alcohol to society at the moment? And right now it's costing the government, us, all our taxpayers, just about 12 billion annually, 2.5% of GDP. That's figures from the World Health Organization. But if you look at what comes in from excise duty, that's actually about 10% of that, 1.2 billion. So there's a massive, massive gap between what alcohol costs Ireland and what actually comes in on excise duties. Excise duties haven't actually changed in the past 11 years. So if you're to look at that, you know, in terms of inflation, their value is actually going down. So what we would be saying is that the Minister of Finance should be doing the sums here and saying, actually, excise duties should be going up, and they should be going up in proportion to the level of harm that is actually caused to Ireland. And that's whether you were talking about, you know, the health budget, whether we're talking about, you know, the pressures on ED departments, or whether we're talking about things like, you know, crime, justice, or indeed loss of workplace productivity, all things that have impacts actually on our economy. So for us, we would say the sums are very clear here. We need actually an increase in excise duties, and that should be in proportion to the level of harm that's actually caused Ireland.
If you were to increase the excise duties, though, on draft beer, are you not going to increase the number of rural pubs in particular, maybe even some in towns and cities that would close down and put people out of business?
We certainly don't like to see anybody losing a job. I'm not, never would be advocating something like that. But you have to actually look at this in the round. We are talking about, you know, huge impacts actually across the economy, including things, people's jobs actually, and in other ways as well, as I say, you know, in terms of cost to business because of loss of workplace productivity. So, yes, you can argue that, you know, for individual pubs, you might say, is there a sufficient market, you know, for them here at that point? But what we're pointing to is, what is the cost? And there's both the cost to society, there's the cost to the individual, and there's the cost to the families as well. So we have four people will have died today because of alcohol. And that's another four people tomorrow as well. Over 1,500 people every year. We have 30% of ED presentations are alcohol related. Now, these are massive impacts on our health service. And that has to be paid for in some shape or form. So whether we're talking about, you know, taxation, our income tax, as you mentioned earlier on, or whether we're saying, well, actually, maybe there's a point to be made here about, you know, where does the profit from this industry go? It is certainly going in. It's not going into our health services, that's for sure. Publicans can argue that they aren't able to make a living. Well, they would probably need to talk to their suppliers of who supplies the alcohol to them at their particular price. But what we're saying is there is a huge, huge burden on Irish society as a result of alcohol.
Okay, so Pat Crotty from the Vintners Federation of Ireland, Sheila Gilheeny's point is that actually you should be paying more excise, because that money is needed to fund the health service to cover the pressures put on it by alcohol consumption.
Well, Matt, I mean, I understand where Sheila's coming from, and her point is very serious. But I would also argue that if where she says, what is the cost to society of alcohol? What is the cost to society if every rural pub closed, where in effect they have been, for a number of years, in a lot of cases, the last light on in communities, the last place where people can go to have a social life, to have interaction with other people, to have good mental health. In France, a month ago, Matt, they have introduced a new policy where they are now grant-aiding people to open pubs in villages where they have, where there's no pub left, because it suddenly dawned on them that their social life is so important, that mental health is so important, and a place to actually socialise. And it doesn't have to be about drink. And an awful lot of what happens in pubs is not about drink. Of course it is. That's what pays to keep the lights on. But the rest of it is about social and community and a part of our culture. And Sheila doesn't want to see a job go, but she actually does want to create an environment where no small rural pub will survive.
Okay, there's a listener who is a regular correspondent and I know is a member of An Garda Síochána, who says, as a rural Garda, I can state that it's cheaper to buy drugs such as cocaine than to buy a pint. If the price of a pint doesn't decrease, there'll be an entire generation who do not use pubs and who would prefer to use cocaine or cannabis. How much would that cost the state? What about that, Sheila Gilheeny, that rather than having people using alternatives to alcohol because they're priced out of alcohol, and rather than having them drinking at home where there's no constraint on the measures that they might actually take, that there are circumstances in which it is better to have people drinking their alcohol with others in a pub?
I understand what you're saying, that, and indeed, you know, it is a safer environment in a pub compared with, you know, drinking at home. And, you know, and we know that there are very, very cheap prices in supermarkets, which is one of the reasons why that is what drives home drinking. But, you know, if I can just come back to a couple of things that you said there, you know, in terms of drugs, alcohol is by far our most widely used drug in the country. 75% of the population would consume alcohol. If you're looking at illegal drugs, across the whole of the population, it's about 7%. Now, I know that that is greater with a younger population. It goes up to about 20, 25%. But alcohol is by far our biggest drug. It's by far our most harmful drug. And I really have to correct something that Pat said about mental health. Alcohol has an enormously bad impact on our mental health. It both is exacerbates if you have a mental health problem in the first place, something like depression or anxiety, but it can actually cause poor ill health as well. It's a factor in up to 50% of suicides. So I really, really take exception to anybody suggesting that somehow alcohol is a beneficiary or helps in mental health. I think that has to be nailed on the head straight away. And, you know, just come
never
back.
Said that, that's, by the way.
You I never made, said you made that. Reference.
I yeah, said
you
that
made
having
reference
a pub,
to improving
having
mental
a place
health.
To socialise.
Socialisation is certainly important. I'm not arguing against that, but you're making an equation between the provision of alcohol and good mental health. But coming back, as I say, to the costs that are actually there, we can see the cost. We see what actually is cost in Ireland, and whether that's, you know, our healthcare staff who are under severe pressure in EDs, or whether it's, you know, families, you know, we have a third of our children live in homes with a parent who's either okay. dependent on alcohol or drinking at high hazardous levels. Okay. So these things must be considered in the round.
Very quickly, Pat Crotty from the Vintners Federation of Ireland. Are you really hopeful that the government will make this concession to you?
I am hopeful is a funny word. I am desperate that they will, because we are at a point of crisis where prices are increasing, costs particularly are increasing, and turnover is going down.
Okay.
So we now have the perfect storm that will only have one inevitable result, and government is the main driver of the cost increases.
Pat Crotty, Chief Executive of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, Sheila Gilheeny, Chief Executive of Alcohol Action Ireland. Thank you both.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.